Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? That's good. So we're going to preach now. Well, I'm going to preach anyway. You can preach with me. So I need you to open your Bibles to James chapter 1. So Megan, you are here. Welcome back. We missed your face all the way from Canada. Great to have you back. We got so many people heading overseas. I got an email from Ron and Rosalie, and we tried to Skype them from Jerusalem last week. And he got up at 3:30 a.m. And guess what? The internet broke at 3:30 a.m. And he tried for an hour to get through to us, and he couldn't. So, but they'll be home soon, and we'll hear all about it. They've had an incredible time over there in Israel. So today I want to talk to you about a phrase that you've probably all heard, but 4 a.m. the other morning, it just dropped into my spirit, and I thought, I've got to preach on this. So that phrase is two words, is eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you as we open your word today, that you're going to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that from your word, from the Bible, when we read it and the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it's just like you make it come alive to us. It's not just a book of words. But Lord, we just pray that revelation would flow as the word of God is preached into our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. So in James 1, we're going to read a little passage, and it talks about desire. So desire is an incredibly powerful word. If you go back to the start of the Bible, in the very beginning, you've got when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they desired to eat of the tree of good and knowledge, there was this desire within them that they wanted to know the difference. They wanted to be like God as Satan had tempted them. So we know that desire can be an incredibly powerful thing. And it's a bit like the internet. The internet's an incredibly powerful thing that can be used for so much good, yet it can be used for so much evil as well. And when we talk about desire this morning, you need to understand that desire is a natural part of our life. And to have desire is something that can be incredibly powerful. But once again, if we desire after evil, it's going to bring destruction. But if we desire after good, it's going to bring so much blessing into our lives. So in James 1, 13 to 15, it talks about the dark side of desire. It says, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Melissa preached the other week about trials and temptations. And she mentioned there that when you're tempted or when you have a desire for something, that's not sin. But this passage in James talks about the process that can take. So desire, when you're enticed by that desire, and it might just come as this thought, that flashes into your mind, a desire to have something that you know that is not good for you. And right then you have a choice. You can have a choice to cut that off or to focus on something that is godly. But if you dwell on that desire, then often the process continues and you're enticed into that. And that desire is conceived and it gives birth to sin, and then sin gives birth ultimately to spiritual death. So we need to understand that desire is something when it is negative, when it is evil, it's got a bad ending, all right? And So we all need to go through a process of how do we channel the desires that we have into something good and not something bad. See, Paul even wrote about, you know, he does the things that he doesn't want to do. And, you know, it's when desire and sin get hold of you, it can be a very powerful thing when it's used in the negative. But when desire is used in the positive, it's a powerful, powerful thing. I want you to turn with me as we look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament. The first one is in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. And this is Jesus talking. And he's the first one I'm going to touch on this morning that uses this phrase, eagerly desired. And Jesus, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Jesus has used this phrase, eagerly desire. He didn't just desire to do this, but he eagerly desired. And so when you say eagerly, it puts a more of an emphasis on it. So Jesus has used this phrase in Luke 22, 15. If we go to 1 Corinthians 12, 31, Paul also uses this same phrase. And in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the church and the body and the many parts and how we come together in unity. And in verse 31 of chapter 12, he says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which Andy touched on this morning, talking about love and how important it is in all the things that we do, that love is at the center and at the basis of it. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he says it again. He says, the way of love, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So you've got both Jesus and Paul, they're using this phrase, eagerly desire, eagerly desire, eagerly desire, but this is for good, not for evil. So eagerly desires is a powerful, powerful phrase that I want to touch on this morning. The word desire in the Greek in the New Testament means this. It means to have a warm feeling for or against something. So ever get a warm, fuzzy feeling about something? Okay. When I was a young man, and I met Melissa, I had this warm, fuzzy feeling, right? But how many know that you can have desires of things, but there's also got to be boundaries in place in your life? Isn't that right, Em? A bit of a chuckle over here in the front row. So even as a child, there's things that you want that you can't always have. Every kid wants chocolate, and if you want chocolate, come Friday night at 6 o'clock, right? But if it's chocolate non-stop, 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 then it's not good for you. With desires comes boundaries, but also with desires, there's times. There's a time and a season for things in your life. And sometimes you can have desires for things, it's not the right time. That's when self-control and fruit of the Spirit and all that stuff comes into place in your life. So desire is to have a warm feeling for or against. It's to covet earnestly. It's to, in a sense, to envy and be jealous over something. It's to be zealous for something. So desire is a very powerful word. It's a very strong word. It stirs up a lot of emotion in people, the word desire. But the word eagerly in front of it means this. It's used to emphasize a strong desire in a keenly expectant or interested manner. So when we talk about desire, it's this strong emotion that's stirred up within us. But when we talk about something, to eagerly desire something, we're talking about, we're emphasizing this, and there's an expectancy that goes with it. So when Jesus says, I eagerly desire, that means this is something that he's passionate about. This is something that he's looking forward to. This is something that is going to benefit the disciples powerfully when they come together and share that Last Supper in preparation for his death. And when Paul talks about, I eagerly desire that you have the gifts, the spiritual gifts, all these things that are in your life that are available to you, I eagerly desire that you desire after them. It's not just a, oh yeah, if you feel like it. But there's this expectation, there's this eagerness, there's this emphasis. This is going to be powerful. This is going to change your life. That you need to eagerly desire these things. If you've been watching the news lately, you would know about the Wild Boar Soccer Club in Thailand. And when that was unfolding on the news in the last couple of weeks, it's like they're starting to talk about Chiang Rai and Marseille, and I'm thinking, hey, hang on, I've been there. When we went on a missions trip in 2009, we went to the House of Dreams with Doug Higgins, and that's just out of Chiang Rai. And then we went up to Marseille to another orphanage, which is right near the border, and it's right near the Golden Triangle where you look into Myanmar and Burma and China's over the back, and it's where all these countries converge together. And I remember staying in a... Do you remember that, Steve? Did you realise that? Steve and I and Dr. Kev were in a... I think we were in a room there, and we stayed in Marseille in this motel for $8 a night. It was... I don't know how many stars it was. I don't even know if it was any stars. Anyway, so we've been there. So all of a sudden this soccer team, this story is unfolding. I thought, hey, hang on a minute. I've been there. I haven't been to that cave, but I've been to that town. They estimate that 93% of Thai people are Buddhist, and the Christian is about 2%. When I was over there one time talking with Tim Perry, he said, they say it's 93%, but there's only a small minority that are actually, you know, practicing. It's like here saying that, you know, 50 or 60% of Australia are Christian, and yet how many of them actually go to church and profess and live their faith out? So it's a very interesting country. When those boys were in that cave, it's like all of a sudden I was just seeing that there's all these incredible parallels about their rescue and them being saved to the spiritual salvation. And why don't we just stop and pray for these guys right now? Lord, I just pray for that soccer team. I pray for that coach and those 12 boys. And Lord, I don't know their background or hardly anything about them. But Father God, you have... Through the men and the women and everyone, that the experts that were there from around the world, Lord, those boys have been saved. They've been plucked out of a situation that looked hopeless, and they've been saved. But Lord, we also pray for their spiritual salvation. Lord, and we pray, God, that as the eyes of the world have been focusing on what's happened there, Lord, we pray that you would see incredible things come out of that in a spiritual sense, Lord. And we would see salvation come to the households of those families in Jesus' name. Amen. But all of a sudden, all this stuff was unfolding, and I was seeing the parallel in the spirit of what was happening in the natural of these boys being saved. First of all, they were on a bit of an adventure and they got lost. When it comes to life, that's what happens to us, is we get to a point in our life where we realize that we're lost, that we're sinful, we're try to live life our own way and it didn't work out, and we're in a sad, sad state. They were lost. And spiritually, that's how people get. They get lost. They became hungry. They were in there for, I think, 9 days before they were actually discovered. They didn't even know if they were going to be alive. And they would have been hungry. They would have been without food and hardly any food. They were in a bad way. Then it moved to from being lost to hungry to desperation. Could you imagine being in the dark for 9 days? Not knowing if it's day or night, not knowing if anyone was ever going to find you. You would have been so desperate, and they probably would have got to the point where they thought, we are just going to starve to death. Desperation. You know what? Before Jesus came and transformed my life, I was lost, but there was a hunger that was starting to stir within me, and it almost got to a point of desperation that, God, I can't do this anymore. If you don't come in and change my life, where am I going to end up? Then finally, those guys came in, those divers, and there was hope. And then the process was put in place, and they were saved. I was just reading a little bit this morning, and they were just saying that they still can't believe what a miracle this is, because the process of actually getting them out was so huge, and to think that they didn't lose one was such an incredible, powerful miracle. So they were saved. It's interesting that as they came out of being saved, that they went through the waters. Last week we had 5 people went through the waters of baptism. Just another parallel. And now they're in hospital where they're being cared for, where they're being given everything that they need, where they're becoming healed, whole, and transformed. To me, the parallels were an incredible experience of what happened to them happens to people as they get saved in the spiritual. I want to give you a list now of 8 things to eagerly desire. And the first one is salvation. Eagerly desire. We could go around this room, and I'm sure we could hear story after story after story of basically how people were lost, how there was no hope, and there was a searching, there was a stirring, and then when Jesus came in, they were saved, and everything started from there. But you had a free choice. And to eagerly desire, even though you may not understand, to eagerly desire for Jesus to come in and to do what you can't do is where it all begins. If you're here today and you've experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're here today and you haven't experienced that, but there's something going on in your heart, there's something going on in your spirit, there's a searching, there's a stirring, and today can be your day. To eagerly desire salvation, relationship with Jesus, your past washed away, a new start, a hope, a future, a purpose is where it all begins. And that can just start with a desire. The second one that I want us to eagerly desire is the Bible and prayer. The Bible and prayer. You see, once you make a decision to be saved, to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden, this whole new world opens up to you. And the way that you've lived before and the things that you've done, all of a sudden you're confronted with all this stuff. You may have lived a certain way and done certain things for 10, 20, 30 years. All of a sudden, it's like you... All of a sudden, you get a godly conscience. And then it's not just your opinion anymore or what makes you feel good or the things that you've always done. But all of a sudden, now you're faced with, well, what does God's word say about that? Because everyone can have an opinion, and often it's varied and it's different. And there's so many shades and variations. But when you become saved, it's like you want to live for God. You want to please God. So what does God say? What does God say about that situation that you're in? What does God say about your relationships? What does God say about the things that you watch and listen to and put in your body? And so all of a sudden you're faced with all these things. But what does the Bible say? because that's truth. And everything else is an opinion that comes from the way you were raised or your experience or your background or what makes you feel good. But we know that desire without boundaries ends in death. So all of a sudden, what does the Bible say? And when we pray and the Holy Spirit breathes upon that and it becomes revelation to our heart. So I want to encourage every person here. You want revelation in your life? Then eagerly desire to read this book. And eagerly desire when you pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and gives you revelation. And you know what? If the Holy Spirit says something and it doesn't line up with this book, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will confirm what the Word of God says. So we need to get an eager desire to not just get saved and stop there and park there and say, well, that's my ticket to heaven, it's all over. No, that's just the beginning. To eagerly desire to read this book and to pray and allow the truth of God to come in and to change the way that you live, to change the decisions that you make, which will change the circumstances that you're in. And you know what? The way you lived before and you trying to do everything and you making those decisions based upon your opinion didn't really work, did it? So let's find out what the truth is and allow change to come. And often that's a process. The third thing that I want you to eagerly desire is water baptism. You'll be next time. Next time. I'm signing you up. We're going to sit down, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to go through it next time. But for some people, it's like, I got saved, I'm getting water baptized, what's stopping me? Let's get into it. For other people, it's a process. Like for Chris, who was baptized as a baby, and so he had to go through that process of finding out, well, what does the Bible say? Not just what Pastor Matt says or what Joe Blow down the street says, but what does the Bible say? And he went through a process and he got to a point where he wanted to be water baptized because he knew that it was right. See, when you're water baptized, like these guys were last week, and when you go down, you see the old man's buried. He's gone. He's finished. And that's what's already happened in your heart. But see, that's a powerful thing because you can't go down and say, I'm buried the old man, I'm a new creation, and continue to live the wrong way. See, and that's why it's so confronting, because all of a sudden there's stuff in your life that you will start to have a conscience about and you'll start to read about and you'll hear about. And that's the time not to ignore it and not to stay where you are, but to allow through the love of God and through the power that he gives you to overcome, to deal with those things and move forward into a new lifestyle. Amen? So eagerly desire water baptism. If you're here and you haven't been water baptized, eagerly desire it. Expect that when you take that step, it's going to be another step forward in your Christian journey. It's going to be a life-changing experience. Talking to Chris this morning, and he said, I've just had an awesome week. And now I'm out the front this morning. He said, I'm just going for it. So it's a powerful, powerful experience. Eagerly desire. The next one, number four. Eagerly desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you're new to this Jesus stuff, this church stuff, you think, water baptism, I've seen that happen. But what's baptism in the Holy Spirit? When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you become a son and a daughter of the living God. And the Holy Spirit is within you. But there's an extra dimension to that, that the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be his witness. And the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. And for many people, it's like there's a desire that comes within them. And once again, you know, what does the Word say? Acts chapter 2 is a powerful passage on that. When the Holy Spirit came upon people and they were in the upper room and they were waiting and that the promise that Jesus had said to them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it was powerful, and they began to speak in other tongues. They didn't make it up. I was talking to someone the other week. I said, it's like that there's a cork, and all of a sudden this cork gets pulled out, and this stuff just starts to flow, and out it comes, and you begin to speak in another tongue. That's the evidence that the Holy Spirit has baptized you, and the purpose of that is to give you boldness so you will be his witness. It's like it takes you to another level in your boldness and your faith. Paul talks about that he speaks in tongues more than anyone. And when you speak in tongues, it's like you are praying words to God, mysteries to God that you don't understand. But as you do that, it's like you're communing with God, and it's building up your spirit. So I really want to encourage you, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, today's your day. Eagerly desire it, because it will take your Christian walk to a new level once again. Number five in things to eagerly desire is your natural and spiritual gifts. So what are your natural gifts? What is stuff that you are just naturally good at? As I look around this room, I see many different people in many different professions. So if you're working as a plumber or a teacher or an engineer or whatever, they're things that you've trained to do, but there's probably been a natural gift and desire towards that, because you're probably good at that anyway. So we all have natural gifts. And those natural gifts that God gives you that you can use in your profession, then you can you can use them for the kingdom of God. You can use them in the house of God. You can use them to love and serve other people through that. You know, when you come to a working bee, for example, well, that's not very spiritual, is it? But what you're doing is you are enhancing the house of God, which without that, how would people come? You see, so it's all tied in. So we can look at things as it's just that. You know, it's just cleaning the toilet. All those things are powerful. Understand what your natural gifts are, but also understand what your spiritual gifts are. What's a spiritual gift? It's that gift that God gives you that you're naturally moving in, right? So how many people here move in the prophetic and prophesy? Can you give me a wave? All right, so that's a spiritual gift that God gave you. So everyone else, God didn't give you that gift, so you're not doing it. Right? Wrong. What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. You know, sometimes we can think, when Jesus handed out all the gifts, he gave the gift of prophecy to Emily, but he didn't give it to me. He gave the gift of music to Ryan and Michelle, but he didn't give it to me. He gave the gift of interpretation to Patrick, because how else could he do what he does up there? But he didn't give it to me. And we think because these people are moving in those gifts that they have them, and he didn't give it to me. You know what half the problem is? We look at that, and because we don't desire it, we don't move in it. See, Paul says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, healing, faith, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Eagerly desire them. The reason you're not moving in them is maybe you're not eagerly desiring them. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Why? Because tongues builds you up and edifies you, and it connects you with God. But Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I'd rather prophesy than speak in tongues, because prophecy edifies the church. He's encouraging every one of us to desire eagerly to prophesy. So I want to encourage you this morning, when it comes to eagerly desiring to grow and develop and move forward into the gifts of the Spirit, don't just think, oh no, that's for them. That's for them. I can't do that. God didn't give me that one. Eagerly desire. All can prophesy. All can have faith. All can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. Stir it up, people. Don't just think it's for them and it's not for me. He gifted them and he didn't gift me. It's for you. Go for it. Believe for it. Move in it. Desire it eagerly. If you pray for someone and they don't get healed, don't give up. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And after about, I heard of a pastor one time, and God spoke to him, and he said, every Sunday night we're going to pray for the sick. And they did it for 3 months, and guess what? No, they did it for a year, and guess what? Not one person got healed. So he's thinking, God, did I hear from you? God, what's going on? If you spoke and said to do this, why isn't it happening? And so there's this real battle going on, but he kept going, he kept going, kept going. A year, no one healed. And then guess what? Bang, it broke out every Sunday night. Bang, 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 bang. People were getting healed, 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 healed. You know what? Part of eagerly desiring something is to persevere in it. If you eagerly desire something and it doesn't happen, do you give up? If you do, then you need to understand what perseverance is like. This week I had a week off, and Melissa eagerly desired that I would achieve this, and this in the garden. There was about three or four major projects. And guess what? I'm still working on the first one. But we're getting there. But we won't give up. Sometimes it doesn't always happen in the time frame that we'd like. Melissa's learned to understand that if I'm just going to the shed to do some welding, I'll be a couple of hours. So she's learned to translate that into, it'll be probably 4 or 6 hours. So part of desiring is not giving up. And if there's stuff in your life that you've desired and it hasn't come to pass for whatever reason, don't give up. Don't give up. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Number 6, eagerly desire to be part of a church family. When we come together on Sunday, it's an incredible experience because we're worshiping God and we're doing it together with each other. And you'll do it together with people that you enjoy and you like and you naturally connect with. And there'll be other people that you don't know. And there'll be other people that... Sometimes that's called sandpaper ministry. And you know what? That's good for you. If someone rubs you up the wrong way, that's good for you because it's rubbing the rough edges off you. But that's what family's all about. Who's got a natural, perfect family where no one fights, where everyone's in unity and everyone talks together and you meet all the time? Give us a wave if that's your family. I saw that hand. Right. So when you come to church, don't have this expectation that we're all coming together and there's all these beautiful, perfect people and nothing wrong will ever happen and I'll never get hurt. Right? Because when you come to church, stuff will happen. And if you grow through that, you become a stronger, better person. And you minister and you come together as a body. And you know what? If you're not here, there's a hole. Because God has called you to be part of a church family. Eagerly desire that. See that as something that is really important. And if you're new and you're on the fringe and you're finding it a little bit hard to fit in, then just come and just push your way in and talk to people and make friends. And it's powerful. And in that, there'll be opportunities to flow in your gifts and to serve and to be part of everything that's happening and to grow and develop. You know, we have a lot of courses like the New Beginnings course. We have life groups. We have so much stuff that you can get involved with to connect and learn and grow and develop apart from just being here on a Sunday. And I encourage you to do that, to take that next step. All right, nearly done. So the band, if you'd like to come back up. The seventh thing is to eagerly desire is to be a powerful witness. You know, when Jesus left and he had the Great Commission, see, when you get saved and you get transformed and your life changes, it's not just about you. And wherever you are in a school, in a workplace, in a family, in a neighborhood, see, you have the powerful opportunity to influence that sphere of people that you have in your world that probably most people in this room don't know and don't have that relationship or that influence. And that's why being filled with the Holy Spirit and having boldness and all that sort of stuff is so powerfully important, because we are called to be his witnesses. And when we go out and people see a change in us, you know, some of the people that we baptized last week, they're here, they've got saved, they've got baptized because they saw the change in a family member. And they were living their life out because they'd found Christ and they were being a witness. And we all have that opportunity. Eagerly desire to be a witness. When you go to school tomorrow morning, holidays are over. When you go to work tomorrow morning, when you meet with your family and your neighbor and all that sort of stuff, you need to understand that because of Jesus in your life, you can be a powerful witness in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you behave, in the words that you say, but also in the things that you don't do. That is a powerful, powerful witness to people. And we need to eagerly desire that. And the last one to eagerly desire is revival. Can I hear an amen for that one? The last one on that list there, to eagerly desire is revival. When we had our cross event this year, we had about six people make a decision when we watched that Billy Graham thing. When we had our conference here, we had about 10 people make a decision that night. So that's 15 people in two events. We've had people come out and get saved fairly regularly on a Sunday morning. We've had 35 kids get saved in the kids' conference last week. So we're seeing people getting saved. But you know what? Revival is seeing people getting saved, people getting healed, lives being transformed, worlds being turned upside down on an unprecedented level. It's not just a few here and a few there. It's like, man, this is just like a wave that comes and goes, bam! And everything is breaking out. Do you want to see that? Let's eagerly desire it. This year we're talking about having a theme of revival. And we're talking about a lot of different things that tie into that. But you know what? Eagerly desiring for God to do something incredible and powerful that's beyond what we could ever think, dream, or imagine. And that's something worth channeling a good desire into. Amen? Revival. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for every person in this room today. And Lord, there are some that they may be just at that stage of there's something stirring within their heart. There's others that have just made that step and that commitment to follow you. And the other end of the scale is there could be people here that have been serving you for 20, 40, 60, 80 years. But Lord, whatever point we are at on that journey, I pray that we would understand that your word says to eagerly desire things of God. Lord, wherever we are on that journey, I don't want us to be complacent and to think we've made that decision or we're at a good place and we just stop and rest. But Lord, there's that desire within us for more. There's that desire within us to want to grow, to want to develop, to want to have more of an intimate relationship with you. And in that, Lord, is that pinnacle of we want to see revival. We We want to see revival in us. We want to see revival in this church. We want to see revival in this region. So, Lord, I pray today that wherever we are in our journey, that you would continue to stir us, and within our hearts there would be that eagerness, that desire, Lord, to want to fulfill every plan and purpose that you have for our lives. Bless you, God. So as we sing this song and close our service, we just want to open up the front for prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you need to respond to anything that's been talked about today, if you want to respond to accepting Jesus, if you want to respond to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you want to respond to anything that we've talked about today, I encourage you, come forward for prayer, and we'd love to pray with you. And as you go this week, may there just be a renewed stir within you to eagerly desire the things that God is doing in your heart. Amen. All right, bless you. Let's sing.